shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This news, talk, and entertainment show taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we know what we're talking about on this show. We even know what we're talking about when we ain't talking about anything, which gives us a leg up on most of the competition. Thank you for joining us. Phil Hendry here in our News and Information Hour. We'll have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And for those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD, occasionally I throw it over onto what we call our Camera One view. Camera One is a side view. And you'll see me doing sometimes something here with my left hand. Those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD, you can see my left hand. And Robert, you're going to say something?
Yeah, we got a lot of people. One guy want to know if you have, like, Parkinson's.
Well, of course he knows that I don't have Parkinson's. If I had Parkinson's, it would be far more evident than just a left hand. But it is a it is a motion that you will find many people in radio, music, whatever, especially radio. We do a lot of things with our hands that don't make sense. It looks sort of strange. Don't be afraid. It's just as I'm talking, you know, I'll be grabbing something. I guess I'm saying too much here.
Yeah, it's starting to be embarrassing.
Well, okay. In any event, so now you know. Some guy, no, seriously, somebody thought that, what's Phil doing there with his left hand? It's just a nervous, it's not even nervous. It's when you're talking and you're not talking as in a normal conversation, but you're talking to make sure that the momentum of the show is moving forward to whatever degree that you can make that happen. You are, there's kind of a physical thing that's going on as well. I can't explain it. Forget it. Why did I even bring it up?
That guy thought you had Parkinson's.
He didn't really think I had Parkinson's. He's just a jackass. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We do want to talk a little bit about the debates this evening. We're going to do that. There's a very interesting story in the news about the federal government investigating Maricopa County Sheriff's Sheriff's Office of Joe Arpaio. Get ready for that. The federal government investigating the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office that is run by Sheriff Joe Arpaio because they feel there may have been some civil rights violations there. So what's going on with that? And we'll get into that. The passing of Christopher Hitchens, who I admired, who I felt was one of the more, you know, it's very difficult to find an honest man in the middle of all of this falderall. Everybody is looking just to win popularity contests. Christopher Hitchens was a admitted leftist. He was an admitted left-winger. Everything that people would probably despise, you know, many people who are, well, for instance, listeners to talk radio. And yet, the reason why I admired Christopher Hitchens was because even as a leftist, he knew that the natural enemy of leftists were fascists. And so he supported the war in Iraq. He supported the war on terror. He supported President Bush in those efforts. And he made very, very compelling and convincing arguments in support because he said, these are fascists, and those of us who have conscience, those of us who are so-called left-wing, we fight fascists. And in fact, he led a group of intellectuals, all of them identified as socialists and leftists. He led them in the signing of a document, a declaration, if you will, at the beginning of the Iraq War in support of it. Very, very rare. I don't think probably most of you ever even heard of it. You've heard of Christopher Hitchens. I would recommend that you read I read his biography of Thomas Jefferson, and I was at first reluctant because I thought, what is that about? You know, Christopher Hitchens, he adopted America as his own country. I believe he became an American citizen. But his biography of Jefferson was very, very good. It was really honest, and I liked it. So Christopher Hitchens has passed on. We'll talk about that. I want to bring on our show here this evening at the Phil Hendry Show, and our number is open at 877-876-PHIL. We have Chris Jekyll, who is a journalist and has written a book that I think is fascinating. And I picked up the book and read a few pages of it, Chris, just before we came on the air. It's called The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Phil. The book has been out for a week now called The Loss of Civility, The Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century, because it's a book that I think we need, and the loss of manners, just good manners, and the way we treat each other, and the fact that we have so many young people who come up these days looking at the behavior of adults who have no idea what gracious behavior is, what good manners are, the use of proper language, not using obscenities, not using the profanities in public. And it also was a book that was inspired by experiences of my own because of I have a little bit of an unusual last name. And I was very shocked, to be honest with you, how quickly people, because they're so childish, are going to jump all over someone's name, and they're going to behave in the most rude possible fashion. So I felt that we needed a book that was going to address all of these needs, and in this book I hope we've done that.
The loss of civility. So, in other words, we have a manners problem.
So, and I don't think I had to write a book to tell people that. What this book does is it breaks down what has happened and why things like that have happened, and who's to blame, and who are the parents that are to blame, as opposed to the teachers, as opposed to other authority figures. Is it a government problem? We have so many people that love to blame government for everything. I think sometimes we blame government for things that we shouldn't. I think in this instance, this is not a government problem. This is a problem of parenting, and it's a problem of I think it's the problem, Phil, of the underclasses or the lower class or the working class, however you want to call it, not caring as much as they used to, because the underclass in the old days would say, well, someday I want my son or my daughter to become middle class or upper class. I want them to have money, and I want them to learn the social graces, and so they would be very careful in teaching that to the kids. But today, it seems that kind of education is not there anymore.
All right, we're talking here with Chris Jekyll, who has written the book Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. Now, I want to ask you, Chris, you said because you have an unusual last name, your last name is Jekyll. It doesn't seem unusual to me.
Well, because of the Robert Louis Stevenson book.
You mean Dr. Jekyll?
The Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and there was a cartoon character, Heckle and Jekyll, and people like to have some fun with a name like that, and I knew growing up that it was going to be a problem for me, and it has become a problem, but in a way that I never anticipated. The level of immaturity, I don't mind people making jokes. I think we all make jokes, but when someone has an unusual last name, when you're in grade school, you think that they're going to make jokes, but never do you think you're going to have it become a problem in your adult life. And I was inspired to write the book when I had a run-in with a neighbor's son who came to our front door and had knocked on the front door. And I've known this young man for a number of years. And he said to me, I opened the door, and I thought, I don't know who this is. It could be a tradesperson or something. It was a Saturday morning, and I opened the door, and he was standing there. This young fellow is,
and he's a neighbor.
He was a neighbor of ours, yes, and I know his parents very well. And I was there, and he said, and again, it's childish, and I suppose people get a laugh out of it, but what they don't understand is that it is harassment. It can lead to not only is it harassment, but it leads to a sense that you're not safe, and you begin to take matters into your own hands.
What happened?
I heard a knock on the door. This kid comes to the door, and he says, Mr. Jekyll, and I said, hi. He said, is Mr. Hyde home? And it sounds funny now, but when you are at the entrance to your door, to your home, your wife and kids are asleep. You feel pretty naked, and you don't know what's going to happen. I instinctively grabbed this young man by his shirt, and I started to pull him into the house. And in so doing, his head hit the door, the side of the door, the door jamb. And I pulled him in, his head hitting that. But I was, I can tell you that I was feeling like I needed to act, and I.
Now I got to interrupt you here for a moment. The young man that you're talking about, this neighbor, said, is Mr. Hyde home? He was making a joke about your name, Jekyll.
That is correct, yes. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I'm not a doctor, but I've had people call me that, Dr. Jekyll. And that's when the harassment really began, you know, when you're younger. and you are going to school, and you're engaging your classmates and so forth, or you're going out, you're, for the very first time in your life, you're going out socially with a young lady. And people, the cruelty that began when I was very young was something that I was able to deal with. But when you've got a girlfriend saying, calling you Dr. Jekyll, you have the your friends calling you Dr. Jekyll, it beats you down. And it...
All right, I realize we get some background going here, Chris, but I wanted to find a little bit out. So when this kid called you Mr. Hyde, you then reached out and grabbed him?
It was instinctive, yeah. It was a fight or flight instinct. This is, we deal with this in the Loss of Civility in the book, when someone calls you, and we've all had this problem. Look, take a look at race relations in America, Phil. Look at black people, and look at Hispanic people, and look at our Asian people, or Jewish people. You know, you have a fight or flight instinct. When someone calls you a name, and you know that there are, the intention behind that is not friendly, and so you tense. I can well imagine if I were black and someone were to call me the N-word, I would tense, ready for anything, because anyone that would say that openly is unpredictable, and I think you have to be ready. When this boy came to our house, that's not the same thing. We're not talking about the N-word here. We're not talking about...
No, we're not talking about anything racial at all.
No, we are not. We absolutely not, Phil. But we are talking about something that someone has brazenly said to you to mock your family name on a Saturday morning, as you open the door to your home, where you are the only line of defense between yourself and your wife and sleeping children. So I opened the door, and he said, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll, it's Mr. Hyde home." And anybody would laugh were it not them.
I mean, I hear that, and my instinct is to laugh, yeah, but you're saying...
Well, of course, your instinct is to laugh. You're not the man standing at the door. Your name isn't Jekyll.
No, I understand that. So when you hear this, because I want to see this, my audience, I'm sure, wants to see this and hear this from your point of view.
Yes.
Okay, so you open the door. He says, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll. You know this young man?"
Yeah, I know him very, very well. I don't want to use the family name, and for obvious reasons, even though they've used my name in interviews that they've done with the media since this took place, and in their lawsuit, they have.
So they're suing you.
Oh, by all means, they're suing me, and they're going to lose because they were the ones that harassed me. They're suing me for. I don't know. The assault was not really... I was not charged with any assault by the police. And that's my ace in the hole. I'm going to say to them that, you know...
All right, I don't want to get too far afield again of our discussion here. These are other matters. The lawsuit and your relations with his family. I understand all of that, but I do want to... Oh, you know, we're running out of time here. Tell you what, let me give our number out. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. The book is called The Loss of Civility. Mr. Chris Jekyll is with us, who... basically assaulted a neighbor's son when that young man called you Mr. Hyde. And as funny as that may be for the rest of us, for you, it was an assault and it was a frightening experience.
It was very frightening. And again, put yourself in the shoes of a black man or a Hispanic man who's been called these names. I'm not black or Hispanic, but when I was gay, is Mr. Hyde home, the first reaction I had was I need to neutralize the threat.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I got so engrossed in what he was saying, and also we were fooling around with Bud and Robert at the beginning of the show. We will get more into Chris Jekyll's story. His book is called The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. If your name is Jekyll and someone calls you Mr. Hyde, is this an assault? An assault in terms of bad manners like profanity? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we'll probably do a little bit of resetting here on our topic because we got into a bunch of other business when we started the show this evening. But we do have with us Chris Jekyll, a journalist and a man who's written a book called The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. The way that we talk to each other, Chris, I imagine is one of the areas that you deal with.
There's a lot of different things in the book, but the way that we talk to each other, the way that we do, we respect each other, do we offer just normal respect? Normal, decent respect is missing in our society. Normal, decent behavior, I don't think anybody would disagree with that, is missing in our society. We have young people who wear as a badge of individuality, and there's nothing individual about it at all. They're just like a bunch of sheep doing the same thing. You talk about drinking the Kool-Aid, you know. And when here's a young man coming to my front door on a Saturday morning, I know him, so I trust him, and I'm going to open my door to him. And I know him and trust him, and my wife knows him and trusts him. My kids do. I've got two children, so I'm going to open my door to him. And my last name being Jekyll means that there is always the opportunity to make a joke, I guess, about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now, I haven't heard that joke. I had people when I was a kid call me Dr. Jekyll. But now we're getting into an area that is an insult to me because he's referencing the evil side. If you know the story, Phil.
Yeah, we know the story. I mean, Dr. Jekyll is the normal doctor who is experimenting in his laboratory there in London. Robert Louis Stevenson's book was a bestseller back in the 19th century when it came out, and the man is experimenting with the animal side?
Yes, he's looking into the sort of the antimatter of human nature. Is there a beast within that we can release? Well, this is what this boy was referencing. When he came to my door with my family asleep, and he said to me with a straight face, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" He's asking me if Mr. Hyde is home. He was joking. I knew he was joking. But he, in so asking that question and really making that joke is what he was doing, he's saying that I am more animal than he is.
And do you really hear that? I mean, I don't know.
You don't know until you've walked a mile in a man's shoes, Phil, which is really what the book, a lot of what my book is about. So you can say, well, am I making a big issue? Unless you are black, you don't know what it's like being called the N-word. Unless you're Hispanic, you don't know what it's like to be called some of these names that people call you. Unless you're Chris Jekyll and you've lived with the people, adults and children, calling you Dr. Jekyll, until the joke is really old, and then all of a sudden, a young man who you've trusted, and by the way, my daughter has gone on social activities with this young boy, and now he's coming to my house and saying, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, I think he's, is Mr. Hyde home?" My reaction was to reach out, grab him by the shirt, because the first thing you're thinking, and I want you to write this down, there's people are listening, write this down, the first thing you want to do is grab him by the shirt, or grab him by his hair and pull him closer to you so you've got him within reach and you can deal with him.
And well, you grabbed him and pulled him and his head hit the door jamb.
That is correct, yes. In retrospect, was it a smart move? It probably was because I didn't know what to expect from him. And in order to get him under control, the fact that his head hit that door jamb, he was stunned for a moment, and perhaps that was a blessing. I don't know. I'm obviously the object of litigation because of that. Am I sorry I reacted that way? No, I'm not, because I have a wife and children sleeping just steps behind me. And
and I want to talk about this. When we come back, we have to take another break, and we're going to get to some phone calls as well, because people are going to want to ask you. When your name is Chris Jekyll, and people are calling you Dr. Jekyll, and one day somebody comes to your house and calls you Mr. Hyde, okay, and it is a joke, and you acknowledge that.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay. You also were saying, though, that Mr. Hyde is the negative aspect of Dr. Jekyll, so therefore you're being sort of taunted as some kind of an animal.
Well, there's no question. And not only that, it's not just a taunt. It's a reference to me as some sort of a base or baser than a base animal than this young man. So, yeah.
All right, and so you felt at that moment you needed to act physically.
I did, because I didn't know what his next move was going to be.
All right. We're talking with Chris Jekyll here, the author of Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. His name, Jekyll, he's gotten jokes about his name, just as an example, through his life as Dr. Jekyll. He had a neighbor's son come to his house and knock on his door early one Saturday morning and say, you know, refer to him as Mr. Hyde. His response was to physically attack this young man. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Our live streaming video of the show is happening right now. It is Phil TV in HD. We're talking here with Chris Jekyll, the author of The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century, and how we are not treating each other with any kind of dignity or respect. And there's no the use of language, the profanity, the obscenity, the sloppy, slob-like behavior, whereas there was a time when we behaved well. You are bringing out of your own life an incident that occurred, Chris, that a young boy came to the door, because your last name is Jekyll, and the kid said, is Mr. Hyde home? And you felt you needed to take some action. And
well, yes, I did, Phil, but I want you to know, I say young boy, his name is, I'll give him the first name of the young man, his first name is Joshua, and he was 17, so he's technically a minor, but big enough to come into that house and do some damage if I didn't preempt him. That's why I grabbed him, pulled him with my left hand as hard as I could, because I was literally balancing a couple of books in the other hand, and I was making breakfast for the kids, too, and his head hit that jam. I felt bad later, but at the time I thought I got myself a little bit of breathing room by stunning him, because if he's going to come to the front door and refer to me as Mr. Hyde, which is the twisted, perverted, sexually perverted, opposite side of Dr. Jekyll, I don't know what else he's capable of.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to get to a phone call here and just talk to some other folks here about this. We have Catherine on the line. Hi, Catherine. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so what I was saying was that I agree that there's lack of civility, but I think that the reaction on the part of Mr. Jekyll is a bit extreme, and that he was reacting rather than being proactive. And I think
this is Chris, Catherine. Can you tell me when you say extreme, what do you mean?
Well, I think it's just kind of ridiculous, because he acknowledged that the boy was joking, and I'm not even sure that the boy even knew who Mr. Hyde was, or, you know.
Well,
it's
obvious. Well, of course he did, because he said, hi, Mr. Jekyll, where's Mr. Hyde? I don't know that it could be any more obvious. To your other point, he was joking. Well, surely we know, Catherine, that people are joking when they call someone the N-word. Or they're joking. I think we need to learn that even with a joke, we can hurt.
Well, to Catherine's point here, if I could, Chris.
Go ahead, Phil.
I don't know. You grabbed this kid. You bumped his head. You reacted with a fit of violence.
No, I don't know. No, it was not a fit of violence. Remember, I had a sleeping wife and children in the house. Okay.
Right. You had a sleeping wife and children. He said, is Mr. Hyde home? That's all he said. He did not raise his hands to you.
No, I will admit, I will give you all of that. I'll give you and Catherine all of that. What I'm telling you is I was preemptive. I was preemptive. And in this day and age, and this is the point that my book makes, in this day and age, with the sloppy behavior that people have, you have to be preemptive. And so, Catherine, you can well imagine if your last name was Catherine, let's say that someone came to your front door, Catherine, and they started shaking. They started shaking violently and asking, is Catherine Hepburn home? Ha ha. Now, Catherine Hepburn had a very serious Parkinson's condition, as you know. If you know of the actress Catherine Hepburn, she shook very violently. That is a very crude and foul joke to make.
What does a woman do?
Yes?
I think that the issue belongs to the person who's making the comment and not to me. And I'm just personally tired of the political correctness that's so pervasive, and I think it's ridiculous to react
to. I agree with you.
Unless the boy had a history of being threatening and you truly feared for your safety,
I think that's an overreaction.
And that's just my comment.
He'd called me Dr. Jekyll many of time.
He'd call you Dr. Jekyll?
Yes, he most certainly did. I find that rude. And then he says, is Mr. Hyde home? And I said, well, that's it. That's it. All bets are off. I'm not going to... And so if Catherine has someone come to her door and say, hey, Catherine, is Catherine Hepburn there? And they start shaking and laughing as if Catherine has Parkinson's disease.
Okay, what about it?
What about it? Well, you need my book too, Phil. And Catherine does too, I think.
All right, Catherine, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Dakota. Dakota, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Jekyll.
Hi. It sounded like he was just trying to make a joke. The kid was 17, and how old are you?
Yes, sir. I'm 51. I'm 51.
That's ridiculous. I mean, it's not like he asked, where's your money, when you opened the door. He acknowledged you.
Oh, no, you're right. But see, one of the reasons for my book, Dakota, is to see the other guy's, to see life from the other guy's shoes. You know, I think that's one of the problems we have when we're rude or if we're, insensitive. So I'm trying to look at this from the other guy's shoes, and I'm asking people to see life through my from my perspective. I'm there. My wife is asleep. My children, I am completely defenseless, and he comes to my door, and
makes a joke.
Well, you say it's a joke.
My name's Dakota. My name's Dakota. I live in North Dakota. People come up to me and say, which one are you, North or South? If it's stupid, I just laugh it off and walk away. I'm 19. I have more sense than that. You don't.
I understand that, sir, but I'll tell you why that's not such an offensive joke, because when they say, which one are you, that means they're idiots for not knowing you're not a state, you're a person. In my situation, when he said, is Mr. Hyde there, he's directing that at me, that I'm Hyde. See, anybody who would think you're a state is a blithering idiot. But the
people are kidding when they say, which one are you, North or South?
Right.
Oh, no, I know that. I know that. But still, they're saying, hi, look at me, I'm dumb. I don't know which, that you're not a state. See, in this case, they're saying to me, you're Mr. Hyde, which means you're a sexual deviant. It means that you could be some kind of slobbering lout, some sort of lurching thing. You saw the...
So you've taken that name, Hyde, and we all know the character, and you have applied that directly to you, and you say basically what that kid was doing was calling you a name.
Not just calling me a name, no. He was attacking my home.
It sounds like you're being too sensitive to me.
Sir, can I say something to you, sir? Do you think that when the Germans rolled into Russia at the beginning of 1941, the Russians were just being too sensitive?
Oh, come on. That's an absurd...
No, Mr. Hendry. You know, we do draw many great lessons from World War II, and we're told we can't use that as an example anymore because too many people use Hitler. I'm not using Hitler. I'm just using the German army going into Russia.
What about the German army going into Russia? You're saying that the Russians were...
This gentleman's saying that they're thin-skinned.
No.
Isn't that what you're saying? Isn't that what you're saying?
You're taking it too much to heart. He's younger than me. I'm 19. Like,
all right. And the other thing that I want to mention here is they're suing you because when you grabbed that kid's shirt, okay?
I pulled him into the house to have him in a closer, in a more confined space, so if he pulled anything, I'd be able to deal with him. And in pulling him into the house, he hit his head and was stunned momentarily. And I think they told me he had a concussion. I don't believe it.
And so you gave this kid a concussion as the result of him simply saying, is Mr. Hyde home? Now,
again, you're saying simply, Phil.
Now, all right, but you feel it was a bad thing, and maybe it was. His parents don't get it, and at least two callers to my show now don't get it, you know.
That's why I wrote the book.
It sounds like an auxiliary sentence, please.
Sir, a lot of people don't get it. That's why I wrote the book. So you need to read my book, The Loss of Civility. You need to read my book, The Loss of Civility, and you need to look into the loss of civilized behavior in the 20th century, because that's what's going on.
All right, but in the minds of so many people, and let me take a break here, 877-876-PHIL, and thank you, Dakota, for your call. If your name is Jekyll, and a guy comes to the front door and says, is Mr. Hyde home? It is not like he's saying to you, is the sexual deviant and pervert and slouching beast that you are, you know, are you, well, anyway, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with Chris Jekyll, the author of The Loss of Civility, Bad Behavior. His name is Jekyll. Some kid called him Mr. Hyde, and he basically gave the kid a concussion. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I didn't give him a concussion. It wasn't like I gift-wrapped a concussion.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We do have Chris Jekyll on the line with us. The book is called The Loss of Civility, and that is Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. The Loss of Civility, which you, Chris, include in that Loss of Civility, the experience that you had.
Well, you know, I want to say this, Phil. It was not my intention to make my experience the touchstone experience of the book. That's not what my intention was. My intention was simply to use as an example how I've been treated my whole life, because my name is Jekyll, and the juvenile behavior of people saying, where is Mr. Hyde? Where is Mr. Hyde? Hey, is Mr. Hyde home? I reacted the way I think any normal person would react who'd been called a dirty name. To me, the name Hyde is a filthy name because I've been made fun of my whole life. Because I have been the victim of people, accusing me of being Dr. Jekyll. And
well, they're not accusing you of being Dr. Jekyll. They're just saying your last name is Jekyll, ha ha. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I understand what you're saying. But that's the beginning stages of what we experience in our society, which is this kind of prejudice. And so,
Are you saying that you're the victim of prejudice because your name is Jekyll?
I think that because my name is Jekyll, I am the victim of prejudice the same way that many people whose names are Asian, or the same way that many people whose names are Islamic or Muhammad, a guy whose name is Muhammad, you see. So then comes a man and says, is Mr. Hyde home? And he's laughing, and he doesn't understand, perhaps, that he just called me a filthy pervert, but as soon as I grabbed him and pulled him into the house and bumped his head on the door, he figured it out real fast.
877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm going to go to a phone call now. Tim, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to make a couple points here, and then, you know, feel free to respond. Again, this is my own humble opinion, but this is a verbal altercation. It's somebody you know. And it's not a parking lot in the middle of the night or anything like that. And you essentially took it from a verbal altercation to a physical one.
Yes.
And hold on, against a minor. in addition.
Of course.
Now, when we talk about civility here, we're talking about the way people treat each other, right?
Of course.
Okay, so how can you write a book discussing civility and what's wrong with society when, in my humble opinion, again, you've contributed to that loss of civility by escalating this altercation from verbal to physical?
No, I did not. The loss of civility began...
Well, no, literally you did escalate it, though.
Me,
you took it from verbal to physical. So,
well, he called me Mr. Hyde, which is like the N-word.
No, and that's the other point I had, and then I'll wrap it up. You're comparing yourself to somebody who has a racial slur tossed at them. This isn't a slur. It's a name.
Only because my name is Jekyll, and so when you've gone through your entire life being called Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, and now comes a man who says is Mr. Hyde home, you right. are, yes, it is an insult that I would not imagine anybody would understand were their name not Jekyll.
Well, that's...
For example, I have a slightly misshapen head. And all throughout childhood, I got teased about it. You know what I did? I grew longer hair. I didn't, into my 50s, start assaulting people because they said something.
You have a misshapen head. You're going to have to expect people to laugh at that.
Right. So
don't you think?
You expect people to laugh at your name. I mean, I just don't get it. Just why not just grow...
No one's they're calling me a pervert. They're calling me as if I've chosen to be a pervert.
Wait a minute. Wait. Why would it be okay to laugh at this man's head? Why would it be okay to laugh at his head?
I think you have to. I didn't say it was okay, did I? I said you'd have to expect it.
Well, then he grew longer hair. So he did something to offset that ridicule.
And what am I supposed to do to offset the ridicule of some 17-year-old punk kid who's come to my home with my wife who sleeps naked? Not that that's an issue, but I worry about a family that is confronted by some kid calling me Hyde, Mr. Hyde, saying right. that I am therefore an animal.
But Chris, this
slouching
kid. This was your neighbor who you knew.
Right.
You
somebody
you
that
trusted.
You should have known.
Yeah,
exactly. All right. Listen, I got to take a break. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to. Not taking a break, but another call. Ron, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Chris Jekyll. I don't know why you'd laugh at a man who's got a physical deformity.
I don't know.
I said that you would. I think you would expect
call.
To be laughed at. That's all.
Okay, go ahead, Ron.
Hello. It sounds to me like you're trying to justify assaulting somebody. No matter what, especially if you're civil, you should never take an altercation to where violence, becomes the outcome. I also don't think that it is even anywhere near necessary, you comparing racial slurs where people have been killed over racism to a name
yes.
that you think is dirty. I think that that's way out of line.
Well, sir,
you said
I'll
you have a kid,
example.
Right? You said you
oh,
have
I'm
a kid,
sorry.
Right?
No,
okay,
I've got three
what
daughters.
If somebody,
I've got
what
three
if,
daughters.
What if you're... Okay, what if one of your daughters made a joke with somebody and they just popped off and attacked them? Would you think that that was okay?
I think if the joke is if my daughter is attacked by a man, that's wrong. But if she's attacked by another woman, then I'd have to say, well, what did my daughter say? And let's say this, Ron. If I called your mother, your very own mother, a dirty word, I wouldn't blame you for wanting to physically assault me. I wouldn't blame you at all. When a man calls me his
answer.
Well, sir, that's a philosophical difference that I don't really want to engage you on right now. I'm just telling you what I did in that moment to defend my family.
Well,
to defend your family from a guy that called you, is Mr. Hyde there?
Yes, Phil.
I'm sorry to cut
yes.
you off, but I literally know a doctor named Richard Doom who works out of Ohio. He gets called Dr. Doom every day, and
yeah,
he can
sure.
make jokes
sure.
about it every day. You can look him
you
up. He's a
make,
chiropractor in Ohio,
well,
and he doesn't assault people because they call him Dr. Doom. No,
I think you're making that up. I think you're making that up to bolster your argument.
He works in Toledo, Ohio, and he's a chiropractor, and he does not assault people, and they joke with him daily. I have no reason to make it up. You can look it up.
They call him Dr. Doom, as D-O-O-M.
Yes, his name is Richard Doom, D-O-O-M.
Well,
they call him Dr. Doom,
sounds...
like a cartoon character.
And I can tell you there's a lot that goes on in this world, Ron. And you don't know what Dr. Doom has done to people that have called him, look, if people call him Dr. Doom, isn't that his name?
Just like yours is Dr. Jekyll.
No, it isn't. I'm not a doctor. That's I've been trying to make that point.
Well, regardless, you should never assault somebody.
So if you were to call me Mr. Hyde, you'd have a problem. You'd have a problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you.
That's exactly right. Thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I think that to say that you're not a doctor, this other guy's name is Dr. Doom.
Yes, so people are going to call him Dr. Doom. What else are they going to call him? But I'm not a doctor. I'm a mister. And they say, hi, Dr. Jekyll. How's Mr. Hyde doing? To me, that is bringing out, that makes that joke. Now it becomes a serious matter. I don't know if I'm going to have a wife that is attacked.
I don't see it. I just don't get it. I don't think you're making your case very clear. How is it that you fear for the safety of your family when some 17-year-old kid comes to the door and says, is Mr. Jekyll, or excuse me, I'm sorry.
Mr. Hyde.
All right, is Mr. Hyde there? When this was a friend, a neighbor, do you know the kid? Is he funny?
No, he's not funny. He thinks he's funny. Now he knows he's not funny after what I did to him.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk here with Chris Jekyll on his book, Loss of Civility. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and this is the talk show that takes you places other talk shows can't. And we're very happy to do that for you. We're very proud that we can do that for you. And we do it for very low wages, and we do it nightly, unless, of course, we're working on something else. Daddy has to make a living. And in any event, we're also online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And if you go there, you can get a backstage pass, and you can actually watch our live streaming video of the show and not only enjoy the live streaming video of the show, but you can enjoy our archives, our podcast, which arrives in your iPod the next day. It's all there. And we think it's really worth it, man. So, by the way, with the Christmas season upon us, we have just what you need for the Phil Hendry fan in your house, the Phil Hendry Show shop. Our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies are in. We have restocked the sizes that we were out of. We have hats, we have T-shirts, we have shot glasses, we have mugs, we have our legacy CDs, both the physical CD as well as the digital downloads. So I think I probably missed a few things here, but
let's put it all of it.
But head on over to the shop as soon as you can. All right, with me on the line is Chris Jekyll. Chris is in, actually in Jacksonville, Florida this evening. We're talking about his book, The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. And we have people who want to talk to you about this, Chris. There's questions having to do with the propriety, the appropriateness of your response to this. You know, we're talking about the loss of civility, and we're talking about treating each other better. Okay?
Oh, yeah, that's the point of my book, Phil. There's no question about it. That's exactly what I want to impart to everybody, and I think we do a pretty good job of it, if you permit me to say.
All right, but when your name is Jekyll, and you started the book because you had taken a lot of ribbing as a kid as Dr. Jekyll and so forth.
That is correct, yes.
Okay, and then a kid comes to your door, a neighbor, someone you know, a 17-year-old kid, and says, hi, did he call you Dr. Jekyll?
Well, that's it. That was the 1-2 punch that was not taking into consideration any of the suffering that I had been through in my entire life. And we know this from the studies that have been done. And you can look at a lot of these different studies that have been done, and the papers are still on file in many of the universities, of people returning from wartime, concentration camps, and the level of the neurotransmitters, the chemical level of neurotransmitter in the brain as the result of this abusive treatment. You know, Phil, I don't want to use the name Hitler. To make these, but I will use one named Tojo. Do you know Tojo?
Yes, the Japanese Prime Minister.
Yes, he was the militarist that ran Japan. And I will tell you that growing up as a young man being called Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, and then having someone come to my door and say, is Mr. Hyde home? The Bataan Death March is something that men survived and many men died.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I cannot allow you to do that, sir. And
no, you have to. Please, allow me, Phil. I've walked in your shoes. Please walk in my shoes.
And I cannot allow you to do that. I will not allow you to come on here and talk about your experience being called Dr. Jekyll as a kid and compare that to men who survived or were killed on the Bataan Death March. I'm just not going to allow that.
Well, you know something. That is your own personal prerogative, and I will say your own personal prejudice, that you will not allow me my moment, but you allow other people to have their moments.
Sir, I want you to have your moment. I cannot allow you to come on my radio show and do that. I will not allow you to make that comparison.
You have said so a number of times, and I will respect that. But you do not live in my skin, and when that kid called me Mr. Hyde, and all I could think of was a woman that I love very much and three daughters, and that I might lose them.
You were going to lose your daughter and your wife, your daughters and your wife, to a kid saying, is Mr. Hyde there?
This was a 17-year-old boy who had tortured me with the...
And you grabbed him and pulled him in and knocked his head, gave him a concussion.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And you're getting sued for that.
Well, you know something? I will tell you this, Phil, from the bottom of my heart. I hope other people can, and I'm sure they do. When it comes to protecting my family, you can sue me till the cows come home. I'm fine with that.
877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Henry Show here tonight. Let's go over to a phone call. We have John on the line. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I just have a question for Mr. Jekyll. Mr. Jekyll, if you were so concerned about your wife and daughter, why did you drag the young boy in the house? Why wouldn't you just shut the door?
As I said, what you need to do when you're in a situation like that is you want to make sure that your adversary is not far away from you. You want to drag him within the perimeter of your reach. I didn't know what he was going to do. So I grabbed him and dragged him closer to me so I would have more control over the situation. And in so doing, I was able to neutralize him. And
this kid had not done anything, and you bumped his head against the door.
This kid had come to my door and had served fair notice that he might do something, yes.
And you drug him inside your house. Why wouldn't you step outside?
I think I just answered your question.
That's
do you want to ask it a different way? You can ask it.
No, you didn't ask. No, you didn't. You answered that, but he just said, why not step outside?
I was reacting. It was a reactive move.
That's a pretty poor reaction.
Well, why?
Why?
Okay, this guy's an idiot. Do you...
What's that called? You know, the loss of civility? You just called him an idiot?
Well, he sounds stupid. Are you... You're asking me...
Your book is called The Loss of Civility. You just called this man an idiot and stupid?
Well, first of all, I said, why? Yes?
Sir?
Yes?
So, according to your book, you just contradicted yourself because you physically got in a physical altercation with your neighbor boy who was 17, and you're how old? 51?
Yeah, that is correct.
Come on, you've had a lifetime to learn.
You apparently don't listen too good, you know.
No, I think he's listening very well, and he's asking a question. Listen, John, I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. I think he's listening very well, and he's asking a question that's very logical. If you're writing a book...
Phil, have you ever had... Is your name Jekyll? Is your name Butts? Is your name any of these names that people take and abuse and mock? No, your name is Hendry. The worst thing that could have ever happened to you as a kid is maybe somebody mistook that as your first name. Were you ever called Henry?
You bet, yeah.
All right, and I bet you think you suffered.
No, I don't think I suffered.
Well, I can tell you that you didn't. Compared to being called Dr. Jekyll and his Mr. Hyde home, being called a pervert, that's what Hyde was. If you don't know the book, the Robert Louis Stevenson novel, Hyde was a sexual, predatory pervert, which means anything that struck his fancy. That was Hyde.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I don't know that aspect of the book, but I believe you if you say that. Here is James. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
My real issue here, and I want to be very clear before I even start, I would not begrudge Mr. Jekyll any of his hurt feelings that he's experienced through his life. You know, someone's pain is their pain. And their suffering is their suffering. Whatever we might think of it is not so much the point. My first issue, though, is one that I've heard echoed from other people, in that they're saying, okay, yes, you've had a lot of years to have to deal with this. The sensible response, it seems, will be to close the door and maybe call the police. We'll leave that aside, though. And
close the door and call the police.
Now, I said we'll leave that aside. Provoke him. Worry about that right now. I understand.
It would only provoke him. The next time he would come over and say, is the ape man here?
That's fine.
Is the ape man here?
Sir, that's not my problem. The second issue is that your assumption that someone calling you Mr. Hyde means that they are invoking some sort of sexual deviant stature on you, you have to first believe that a 17-year-old in this day and age has any idea what the actual story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is about, which is laughable. But you know what? I'll even look.
I don't know that that's the case at all. I don't share that opinion.
Sir,
I'm sorry.
Sir, I'm
I think it's a very well-known story. It's a very well-known story. It's like asking, do you know that Moby Dick is about a whale? Of course we know Moby Dick is about a whale. We know it's about a whale. This is ridiculous.
All right, don't argue, gentlemen.
No,
I mean,
it's not just that. Please let me finish. First of all, I'm a teacher, and I can assure you that the most that people in high schools nowadays know about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is there's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's about it.
Well, you're not doing a very good job teaching them, are you? You should have them.
Look, we're not here to talk about people's profession or the job they're doing. We're here to talk about your reaction. In the book you've written, The Loss of Civility, you have physically assaulted somebody who said, hey, is Mr. Hyde home? Most of the people that are calling here are thinking, this is a joke. Go ahead, James. I'm sorry to interrupt.
And that, well, Phil, you hit the nail on the head because that is really the issue. My only problem with anything that you've said or done here tonight, Mr. Jekyll, anything at all, or that you might have done to cause this situation to happen, or any of that, is that you had the temerity to write a book called The Loss of Civility. Instead,
that didn't take temerity, that took clarity. There's clarity in temerity.
Civilized person does not throttle someone who calls them a name. You are a child when you do that.
If it is a threatening, if the name portends some attack, physical attack.
Why would the name Hyde mean
no
that?
Under no circumstances could that happen. Under no circumstances can you defend that. None.
All right, most certainly. I believe
miserably. You are failing miserably.
What if your name, can I ask you, I don't know what your last name is and I don't want to know, don't tell me, but let's say your last name, excuse my language, Phil, but you told me we could use the word. What if your last name was Ass? And people said, hey, Ass, and all the time, morning, noon, and night. Then some kid comes to the door and says to you, good morning, Mr. Ass. Is Mr., and then he uses the H word, H-O-L-E. Can I say that, Phil?
All right, you can say it, but it's a ridiculous comparison.
No, I'm asking the gentleman.
There is no comparison, sir. Mr. Jekyll, what I might want to do is not really the issue. What I would choose to do as a civilized person is, you write a book called The Loss of Civility, and the impetus for writing the book is you demonstrating how you yourself have lost civility.
Oh, I think you're missing the point.
No, sir, you are missing the point. And
oh,
I cannot believe that you took time to put pen to paper and tell people that we have lost our civility.
Most certainly
have. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. Okay? If the impetus for your book had been this person came to my door and said, hey, Dr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde home? And I explained to him why that was offensive and how it hurt my feelings, and then I helped him off my property or something of along those lines, something that demonstrated how civil you were, then you writing a book called The Loss of Civility would not be so ridiculous. But you
Well, I can
are,
tell you, sir, that if I said to that man what you just said I should have said it and offered to help him off of my front lawn, I would be betraying the memory of, you're going to laugh, I guess, Mr. Hendry, but of the thousands of Chinese and Burmese who died in World War II.
Come on. I can't believe you're making this comparison.
How can you begin to make that? Oh, my God. You are ridiculous.
I'm...
Sir, there are people...
No, sir.
Blood has spilled...
No, sir.
...because
no,
of
sir.
Their ethnicity, and you
right.
call the name. There is no comparison.
Ned, for
there
you to bring
none.
Up the Bataan Death March...
I'm simply saying, Phil, I would be surrendering the same way the British did at Singapore.
Oh, bull crap.
Sir, your logic is flawed horribly. Horribly flawed.
I can tell you that in life, we face the same battles morally as well as sometimes physically, not on the scale, but we face it. We need the same courage that you need in wartime. That's what I'm saying.
Well, these grandiose expressions about the Singapore and the Bataan Death March, I can't accept. I got to take a break. Thank you, James, very much. Great
Thank
call,
so
and
much,
it was a very interesting conversation. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And
well, wait a minute. You're giving him all accolades.
Hold on for just a moment here, Mr. Jekyll. 877-876-PHIL as we continue talking to Chris Jekyll about his book, The Loss of Civility. And how when a kid came to his house and said, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde home?" He basically throttled the kid. That was a very good description. Throttled him, pulled him into the house, banged his head against a door, and about a lot of other things. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And on the line with me is Mr. Chris Jekyll, the author of the book, The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. You've heard a very good couple of points there, Chris. Do you want to respond to the loss of civility that you seem to have shown?
Well, Phil, I don't think that there has been a loss of civility. I think what was happening was a man standing and trying to defend himself for the first time for being called Mr. Hyde. My whole life I've been Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll. And now someone wants to step it up. They want to step up in class, as they say in horse racing. They want to go from a maiden, they want to go to a stakes race. They want to go from their 6 furlong, they want to go to a mile. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that they're going to go from calling me Mr. Dr. Jekyll, hey, Dr. Jekyll, hey, Dr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde home? Now we go from the symbol of Dr. Jekyll, who was an intelligent, inquisitive man. He had a young lady who he was going to marry. He had a respected practice, and he had clients and patients that had great respect for him. Now, let's step up in class. This is going from the 6 furlongs to the mile and a half. Now let's call him Mr. Hyde, a sexual deviant, a man who his personal hygiene. I can't even believe that we're having this conversation. Now I admit to you that I should have held the young man for the police. And
well, what were you going to what law did he break?
Well, you've heard of hate speech. Wow.
Hate speech. Hate speech is something that applies to racial invective. This is not hate speech.
Yes, it is hate speech. Yes, it is, Phil. Because
how is it hate speech?
Because by name, I was born with. I can't do anything about my name any more than someone can do anything about how big their nose is. So if you were born with a big nose, and
well, you can get your nose bobbed. You can have it, and you can have your name changed.
No, you can't have. Yes, you can, but if we lived in a time before they discovered how to do that to noses, and before they had discovered how they could change people's names and have it not impinge on the system, if we lived in those days, I would be the victim of discrimination because my name is Jekyll, and because people, rather than taking me seriously, want to make jokes about me being a character in a book that was written over 100 years ago, looking like a fop, walking around in a big hat, and no one taking you serious. That's what I'm trying to say.
No one taking you serious, and you being a victim of a racial crime, I got to tell you, I don't know if those two things go together. Let me go to a phone call here. I think this is this Jeremy or Jerry?
Yes, Phil.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Jekyll.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you on Modern Family. Mr. Jekyll, I'm just wondering, you had a father? Did you grow up with any brothers?
Did I grow up with brothers? No, I did not. I had a half brother who was the son of my mother and another father. I had a very unorthodox upbringing, which lended itself to my insecurities. And that's something else we should understand about each other.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for that. But surely your father, Mr. Jekyll, had some brothers. And I mean, have they not had these troubles in the past? How did they react?
That's a good question, yeah. Did these guys have to, you know, deal with this?
What guys?
Your father. They all had the name Jekyll.
No, I don't know if they did or not. If they did, you know, they probably did because this is a generational thing. It's the same as... Let me say this to you. The gentleman is Jeremy, right?
Yes.
Jeremy,
yes.
You have a southern accent. It may not sound like a southern accent to you, but it does to me. Would you like it if people kept saying, "Hey there, Huckleberry. How you doing there, Tom Sawyer?"
Hey, I do it a lot. I'm from North Carolina. I was born in New Jersey.
All right, hold on. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hang on there, Jeremy. The Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL with Chris Jekyll on how he was the victim of discrimination.
Phil Hendry.
And why?
Because your name's Jekyll, and they called you Dr. Jekyll.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have on the line here Chris Jekyll for just a few more minutes, a couple of more segments here, and we're talking about your book, The Loss of Civility, the fact that you grew up with the name Jekyll, and the fact that someone called you Mr. Hyde, and you wound up assaulting the guy, and everybody is asking why. Why is it necessary to physically assault a man who just said, hey, is Mr. Hyde home making a joke?
Okay, I'm going to give you one here, Phil. And
then I want to get to some more phone calls.
No, I understand. I want to give you one here, Phil, and I think you're going to understand this. And I think your listeners are going to understand this very well. There was a football player, and I don't know, you probably saw him, Phil. He was a little bit before my time, but, his name was Dick Butkus. Now, if ever there was a man blessed with an unfortunate name, it was that. And do you suppose that Dick Butkus, when he was a young man, and even as he got older and went into college, do you suppose someone said, hey, Butkus, hey, Butkus? It sounds juvenile.
There's no question.
Okay. And do you suppose that Dick Butkus closed that big hand of his? He was a linebacker, and I don't know how big that fist is that Dick Butkus could make. He was a big man. Do you suppose he closed that hand into a fist? And gave some people what for?
I don't doubt that he did. And I don't excuse that either.
You don't excuse what? You don't...
I don't excuse, hey, Butkus and Butkus. Well...
If they say it enough times. Well, when someone...
But the name Hyde is not...
Well, the name Hyde is. And because when that young man came to the front door, there was something else I had to deal with, and that was the possibility that he wasn't just saying, is Mr. Hyde here, as in, is the evil twin of Dr. Jekyll here, but he was using the word Hyde for its other meaning, which is the posterior. Hi, Mr. Hyde, Mr. Butt, Mr. Ass. These are all very juvenile, very, very juvenile issues that we unfortunately all have to deal with. Only I have to deal with them every day of my life.
And every day of your life, someone is calling you Mr. Hyde, as in ass or whatever you said.
Every day of my life, I have to be on guard against someone who may want to wrong or do harm to my wife or my daughters and gain access to my home by throwing me off with, is Mr. Hyde there, making me angry enough so that I swing, miss, that person ducks under my arm and gains entry to my home.
Oh, my God. It's a scenario that I...
You can say, oh, my God, all you want. You're not me. You don't have to live in the hell that I live in and have lived in for 51 years.
The hell you live in. All right, 877-876-PHIL. I want to get over to another phone call here. This is Joni. Joni, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Chris Jekyll.
Hi, Mr. Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
I have so much to say because I've been waiting for about 2 hours to talk to this gentleman. I have four teenagers in my car. I am a black woman. My name is Joni. And I was growing up in my life with someone talking to me with Joni Loves Chachi. And I love the show. I love the one. I have nothing against race. But for Mr. Jekyll to get on the phone and to have a comment saying or even refer what he has gone through about his last name and to refer that as or compare that to racism, he can't even compare. And Mr. Jekyll, let me explain to you, and do not interrupt me. You have used every excuse in the book to try to say it's racist to you, it's hurtful to you. You don't know what racism is. You have not experienced racism, have not gone through racism. You haven't been a slave. You haven't gone through being tortured because you're black. You don't know what black people go through or Hispanics go through. Never ever compare what your last name have ever compared to being racist or comparing it to being in a fearful state of mind, to compare violence with some child. You have used in this whole segment and compared this young man to a man or a boy. Now, which one is it? Because this seems like a juvenile, and you acted like a juvenile.
When he called me Hyde, when he said I was a Hyde, when he said, well, you asked me a question. Well, you asked me a question. You asked me a question.
No,
and I will answer your question. When he called me Hyde, I assumed that he was, it was, those were fighting words.
You cannot compare with what your last name is, because my name has been taunted. Don't ever compare that. Or being black, never again. You don't know what it is or what it is.
No one thinks you're black. If they called you Joni, they don't think you're black. They think you're white if they called you Joni.
What?
She said Joni Loves Chachi.
Knowing what fear is. Has anyone raped your wife? Has anyone raped your children? Don't ever compare.
That morning, my wife could very well have been raped that morning had I not said to Mr. Hyde or to the kid, don't you call me Hyde.
Yourself, let's not anyone else. You deserve to be in jail.
Nonsense.
And you are wrong for what you have done. Don't you ever touch a young man, a woman, or a child.
Well,
and you
I had to.
Excuse that your last name is in fear. There is no excuse.
My name
you
is Jekyll.
If that was my child, I would have put you in jail. I would have put you under the jail. And I would
you can't put me in jail for having the name
don't
Jekyll. You can't put me in jail.
All right, okay, let's hold on for a minute. Hold on. I want to ask you, Mr. Jekyll, what your point was about Joni's name.
Okay, her name is Joni. And she wasn't offended by people calling her Joni Loves Chachi like there are a couple of Puerto Ricans?
It's a name. It's a name.
Right, but weren't you offended?
Take on and don't interrupt me. No, my name did not offend me. It did not hurt me because somebody said something about my name.
They're calling you a Puerto Rican. They're saying you're in love with a Puerto Rican.
Excuse me. My name is nothing. My name is nothing. It's not going to kill me.
Your name's nothing.
My name. Excuse me. Interrupt me. It's not going to kill me if someone says something about my name. That's stupid. That's
they
funny.
Said that you were in love with a Puerto Rican and living up in Spanish Harlem.
Oh, come on.
Put your hand on the wand. That's childish. You have used every excuse in the book to put your hands on another person, and that is no excuse.
Absolutely. If they threaten my wife or my daughters, I will put my hands on them. They called me Hyde.
All right. Okay. All right. I think the point here, and it's a good point, Joni, is that you cannot compare your whatever you've been through with the name Hyde or Jekyll, you can't compare that to race.
You know how I can compare it to race? I can compare it to race this way. When they call me Hyde, they're basically calling me a monkey. Now,
well, you know
that's
what?
Not human. That's a monkey.
When I was a child, you know what I was told? Words don't hurt you. Because it seems like to me you have a juvenile mind. It seems to me that you want to use that excuse to put your hands on another person. But I guarantee you, if you was black, and I guarantee you if someone did that to you, you would not even survive the next day the way they would torture a black human being or whether they would torture a Hispanic human being.
Black people are used to it.
Don't interrupt me. We are
used to it, but as a white man, I'm not used to it. I'm not used to being mocked and being compared to someone's butt.
Human beings. That is no excuse.
Absolutely. All right, Joni, thank you. Very good call, Joni.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear, for your call. Your phone is...
You know, I think I resent very much the fact that her phone was tough to hear, and she was making some pretty ridiculous say. She's saying to me that
she made everything she said was absolutely right, and I think that when it comes to being offended by words, we've spent a couple of hours talking about somebody calling you Hyde. The name of the book is The Loss of Civility. I'm sure there's much, much more to talk about than just your experience.
There is. Indeed, there's much more to talk about. The reason why I brought that into the discussion, Phil, is because of the fact that it was a personal experience of mine. If you look at people's names, my goodness, my name, Jekyll, and what I've been put through, it may not be anything to Joni or to other people, and that's fine. I may say to Joni, well, I don't know anything about your experience, and so it goes. But when you grow up with a name like Butts, B-U-T-T-S, and look at these ridiculous jokes, Life Under the Grandstands by Seymour Butts. What if that was your name, your real name? You see? So...
You wrote a whole book about people's names?
No, I did not write the book about names.
Well, that's what you've been discussing with us here for an hour and a half. People's weird names. 877-876-PHIL. Let me get over to another phone call here. We have Patrick. Patrick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yes.
You have a great show there.
Thank you.
All I wanted to say is, as a kid growing up, my mom was a school teacher, and of course I was made fun of, and they're like, you're the teacher's pet. Also, I got made fun of because of my appearance, because I was bigger than the other kids, so I got called, you know, like the fat kid or fat boy and whatnot. And also, my Spanish name is actually Patricio, and they're like, oh, here comes Patricia. You just got to ignore these people. People are going to be childish. People are going to be cruel. And
yes,
eventually, they're going to get tired of... Don't interrupt me.
Yes, Patrick. I don't mean to interrupt you, Patrick, but you're comparing apples to oranges. The fact that you went through life as a big kid, yes, that's hurtful. But I'm talking about the threat to a woman and her sleeping daughters.
Okay,
see?
For one thing, a 17-year-old kid, you've known him for quite a while because he's a next-door neighbor. He is
yes.
not going to do anything. Insults are not going to kill anybody or severely injure anybody. You gotta You got to wake up and smell the coffee of what is going to be a threat and what is not going to be a threat, especially if it's the next-door neighbor kid. You know, already know, of course he's going to tease you. Kids are going to be kids. But you got to realize it is not
It's not the same as calling someone fat. When he said Hyde, he was saying, I got your number, ape man.
Excessive force is not necessary. Excessive force is not necessary. If you had...
I didn't understand the word you just used. What word did you say?
Excessive force.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Force. Quit interrupting me.
It sounds sort of like you're saying except for force.
No, excessive force.
Okay. All I'm saying is, if you had that big...
How big were you?
I don't think that's any of your concern right now. And quit interrupting me.
Okay.
quit interrupting me. What I'm trying to say is, no matter if you're being called a name or they're making fun of your last name because of the story, just ignore it. And if it's that big of a problem, don't let them in your house anymore. Tell his parents. Have a conference with them. There's a solution to everything. Excessive force to a kid is
when
never
you say don't let him in my house, that is part of the lawsuit because they're saying that I invited him in and then beat him up. Technically, I did invite him in by grabbing him and pulling him into the house. Then I began to beat on him because he had said to me, as I've tried to be very clear here, Patrick, he said, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" Now, I understand that to you that's not an insult, but to hundreds of years of the Hyde name, and my name is Jekyll, so it's not even Hyde, it's an insult to anyone named Jekyll because now they're saying, "Can I see your dark, black, sick side?" You see?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. What does that mean, wow?
You got to be kidding, man. Are you?
Really?
Excuse me?
Really?
This was what I talked to the other lady about. She doesn't know me any better than I know her. You don't know me any better. You tell me that you were overweight or what have you. Okay, I accept that. Now I tell you what my hell is, what the pit of human filth that I live in, and you want to laugh at me.
The pit of human filth?
You're both going, you're poo-pooing what I said.
Okay, well, the other thing is, you objected to people saying, hello, Dr. Jekyll. I would be honored if someone called me doctor, you know, as part of humor. Come on.
What? I don't get that. What do you mean you'd be honored humor. If you're not a doctor? Well, they're going to be calling you doctor to make fun of the fact that you're not a doctor.
Haven't you ever heard people say, "Hey, doc, how you doing, doctor?"
Humor. Yes, I've heard that, and they were doctors.
No, sometimes they say, "Doc."
Only Bugs Bunny. Oh, you guys are. It's a pretty sad story. When I'm on a radio show, and now you guys have reduced yourselves to bringing up Bugs Bunny as a way of defending your arguments.
It's called humor.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Good call. And we're going to take a break here as I try and because I was almost going to break out laughing there. I was almost going to break out laughing there when Mr. Jekyll started to act incredulous that I mentioned, you know, Doc, and he brings up Bugs Bunny. Like, that's my big argument of the hour. I just pulled out my smoking gun argument, man. Bugs Bunny. All right, we'll be right back here. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more from Chris Jekyll and his book, The Loss of Civility, in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Who's your bitch? Are you talking about me?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to our program. Just a few more seconds here with Chris Jekyll as we talk about his book.
Mr. Henry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I do want to thank you very much for having me on your program. I don't think that I said that, and I do appreciate it. I know we've had our differences on the program, but please accept my thanks.
Well, I'm very happy to have you, Chris. I really am.
I know that it's been contentious, but you know something? I hope someday I can write another book, perhaps a better one, that will get people to understand, you know, what I'm trying to say.
And, you know, if I'm not getting it, excuse me for being, you know, dumb.
No one's dumb. Let's not say that. Let's say that we just have a long way to go in understanding each other.
But as far as I can tell, you're, you know, kind of hanging your hat on this thing that your name is Jekyll, and you've been called Dr. Jekyll. Now a guy called you Mr. Hyde, you know.
Well, but it doesn't end there. They'll say things like, "Dr. Jekyll, do you ever see Robert Louis Stevenson anymore?" And that's not really offensive so much as it's just tiring. It's tiring to have to stop and to acknowledge Isn't that funny? You just said Robert Louis Stevenson. He's, you know...
Okay, let me get to some phone calls. I've got Norma hanging on the line. There's so many questions I still would like to ask you, but we're running out of time. Norma, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Chris Jekyll.
Right. I've been listening for quite a while, and it's hard for me to understand how, Mr. Jekyll, you can imagine that you're a civil person because you interrupt everybody who tries to get a point in. But I only have just one
thing.
Well,
that one lady, I didn't interrupt that lady, Joni. She just kept on going and going and going.
Well, you kept trying to interrupt her, but she was pretty persistent and just hung right in there. But I only have one thing to say. I understand how you feel about your name and people insulting you, but remember this. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is just a story. It was not about you. People may try to make it about you, but it isn't about you. So as a mother of a former teenager, all I can say to you is, if your home is your castle, then you have right, and it should be. We all should consider it that. This young lad who's being a smart aleck, and you knew it, all you had to do, since it's your home, is say, listen, punk, it's too early for this. Go home and come back later. And because you're the grown-up.
When I'm not here and my wife is alone, maybe, I can't take that chance.
Listen,
Norma,
if your wife,
let me ask you.
If your wife lives with you, no, let me tell you something.
Yes.
If your wife lives with you, if she doesn't know how to talk back by now, it's over.
I want to ask you, as an intelligent woman, because you sound like one, what would you do then if someone looked at you, and your name is Norma Jekyll, and someone came to your door after years of being called Dr. Jekyll, or, you know, maybe they called you Mrs. Dr. Jekyll, I don't know, and they say to you, hey, Mrs. Hyde, you know, where does it end?
I'll tell you where it would end. That wouldn't bother me in the least because I know it's a story, and whoever's trying to insult me doesn't have that ability. Nobody can insult me for something that doesn't mean anything to me.
Wouldn't bother you in the least?
Not at all.
This is what I'm talking about, Phil. We don't even know any longer when someone is comparing us basically to human waste.
Mr. Hyde might have been a negative or, you know, what do you want to call a guy's, an anti-hero, antagonist, a bad guy in literature and in the movies. But we have fun with those characters. But to say that it would be like saying to me, somebody calling me Godzilla or something, you know, I mean...
When would anyone call you Godzilla?
I mean, if they thought I was being monstrous about something.
I asked Norma, Phil, because you just took us way off the point. Norma, you wouldn't be offended by being called Mrs. Hyde.
Not at all.
What if somebody, when they said that, looked around behind you and said, hey, Mrs. Hyde, and they were looking at your, you know.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's now officially here on the western side of things, now officially Thursday, but we always get stuff, you know, at the tail end here. You guys have been in Thursday for a while, and what does that mean to me? Absolutely nothing, because we took the garbage out on Wednesday, I hope.
Yeah, I did.
What's that? What'd you say, Dan? Is today Friday? Oh, today is Friday. Oh, today is Friday, man. Why didn't you guys say something?
I don't know. I said it was Friday.
Dan had to say something. Today's Friday. Sorry. That should be good news, but I work 6 days a week, so... Shut up. All right, now, I was looking up names because with this guy, Mr. Jekyll, that was on the show... was talking about his name and how people make fun of it, and I remembered that last night I was, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but last night I started looking up names of babies. What were people naming their kids? What did people name their kids? We know what people are naming their kids now. I could give you a list of the most popular names, for instance, as recently as 2002. The most popular baby names as recently as 2002, and we recognize these names now because we hear a mother in a supermarket or someplace going, you know, Jacob, Michael, you know, Ethan. You know, these names that are very, very much the hallmark of today's modern yuppie. Jacob, Michael, Joshua, Matthew, Ethan, Joseph, Andrew, Christopher, Daniel, and Nicholas. These are the, as of 2002, the most popular male baby names. And for girls, I mean, this is like, this is textbook. Emily, Madison, Hannah, Emma, Alexis, Ashley, Abigail, Sarah, Samantha, and Olivia. But what were people naming their kids back in the day? Now, you know, I can go to the 1950s when I was named, okay?
Yeah, but everybody called her kid Philip then.
No, as a matter of fact, they didn't. Most popular, these are popular names. I want baby names, but these are popular names in the 1950s. Michael, James, Robert, John, David, William, Richard, Thomas, Mark, and Charles. Pretty mainstream stuff, you know?
Well, they got the name Philip in there, Noah?
No, the name Philip, which is what I was named, and maybe that's because it was an unusual name for the 1950s, because in the 50s, there are, the name Philip is not even on the, you got to go way down the list. It's number 66 on the list of most popular names in the 1950s. Now, where did, now, I was named in 1952. Maybe by the 60s, all kinds of Philips were popping up. Let's see. Here are the most popular names in the 1960s. Michael, David, John, James, Robert, Mark, William, Richard, Thomas, Jeffrey, and Philip is still way down the list. In fact, it was 66 the last time at bat. It's 68 now.
So I got less popular. Your mom and dad named you a name nobody wanted to have.
Yeah. Your mom and dad gave you a name that people walk away from like it's poison.
Oh, get out of here like it's poison.
Might as well call you Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny. So, anyways, looking at these names, and I realized that, especially the baby names, when you look at baby names, nowadays, you see a lot of very, you know, interesting names, and I just gave them to you, the Joshuas and the this's and the that's, you know, popular baby names. These were baby names, okay, so from the 1950s. Now you go all the way back to the 1900s. Now, what name is missing from the baby names of 2002? And quite frankly, what name is missing from the baby names of the 1990s? Here's the popular names that they called babies in the 1990s. Michael, Christopher, Matthew, Joshua, Jacob, Andrew, Daniel, Nicholas, Tyler, and Joseph. And I know that my guys, they had friends named Tyler. That would put them, that'd be right in the right span there, you know. Tyler and stuff like that.
Man, I don't know. They got a pro football player named Tyler?
They will if they don't already. Who are the guys? The guys that are playing ball right now were born in 80s, let's say. 90, you know, the rookies, but the 80s, okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's look at the baby names for the 80s, see if you recognize. What do you mean ball players?
Well, I just want to know.
Here are the popular baby names for the 1980s of boys. Michael, Christopher, Matthew, Joshua, David, Daniel, James, Robert. Now, there's John, number 9. That's the last time you see John because, as I was about to say, the further back in time you get, the higher up the list the name John goes. John was a popular name. There was a, you know, like at the turn of the 19th century, that was the most popular baby name, John. And you can imagine George was up there because George Washington, and then the name Thomas was up there because of Thomas Jefferson. We're talking about in America, you know?
Yeah, we ain't got a kid named a kid George. You know, England, or maybe...
Yeah, what, King George?
Yeah, I guess King George. I'm talking about the United States. But the name John, see, it's number 9 on the list. The further back in time you get, the higher up the list it gets, but it fell out of favor in the United States, and it never really did make a comeback. In the 1970s, it was number 6 on the list. And you go back to the 60s, and the name John is number 3 on the list. And you go back to the 50s, and the name John is 4. In other words, it stays relatively high, number 3 in the 40s. That was the third most popular baby name in the 40s. But by the 90s and beyond, the name John disappeared, you know?
Well, I mean, why would people want to keep naming a kid John?
Because, I'll tell you why I think a lot of kids were named John. Because the name John was so common, fathers were named John, or uncles were named John, or and you're naming your kid after an uncle or a dad or someone that, you know, an admired older male relative. Oh, let's name him after Uncle John, you know. And now we've got the name John going on. But I think people just got tired of that name after a while. In the 1940s, you know, here it is. You know, John, Robert, James. So it's only when you go, and then you go all the way back to the 1900s. This is the turn of the century, and the number one name on that list is John, followed by William, James, George, Joseph, all real. These are the names I grew up with, you know?
Yeah, they sound like normal people names.
Well, what do you mean normal people?
Well, I mean, they don't sound like, I don't know.
To me, they sound normal. They sound normal to you?
Yeah, they don't sound gay.
I mean, gay. Here's an. You think this sound Henry? Do you like that name?
No.
Well, that was the 10th most popular name in 1900 to name your kid Henry. And there's some other goodies on here. There's names like Ernest, Grover.
Grover.
I'd love to name a kid. Just give him a middle name of Grover. You know, Samuel, all this jazz. But now we get over to the girls. At the turn of the century, the name Mary. 1900, the name Mary. Well, Mary was also the number one name in 1800. But as you get further into the 20th century again, here we go again. Here's the 1920s now. Mary is still number one. In the 1930s, Mary is still number one. Now we start moving closer to the present day. All of a sudden, when you get to the 1960s, Mary drops down to number two. The number one name in the 60s was Lisa.
Lisa?
Yeah, that was the number one girl name. To name a girl in the 60s, Lisa. Now, these would all be women. I guess these are all women in their 40s now. Lisa, Mary, Karen, Susan, Kimberly, Patricia, Linda, Donna, Michelle. All right. But then you get closer to the 70s, and Mary has now dropped down the way down the list. In the 1970s, the number one name for a girl was Jennifer, Amy, Melissa, Michelle, Kimberly, Mary. Dude, it went from number three in the 1960s, plummeting to number 15.
Yeah, things probably everybody's getting all fashionable and stuff.
I think so. By the 1980s, here is the most popular, 1980s, Jessica, Jennifer, Amanda. Wow, do these names sound, these are all real, you know, Reagan-era names, man. Jessica, Jennifer, Amanda, Ashley, Sarah, Stephanie, Melissa, Nicole, Elizabeth, Heather, Tiffany, Michelle, man, Mary, forget it, man.
Ain't it even on the list?
Yeah, it's on the list, number 34. That's the 80s. Now we get to the 90s. What, do you think Mary just fell right off the list? In the 1990s, the number one thing to name your kid, Ashley, Jessica, Emily, Sarah, and Mary she's plummeted down to, man, I'm still looking for Mary.
Yeah, but, you know, no, Mary ain't even all that good of a name.
Well, it may not be that good of a name, but it's a very tradition. It's a good name. It's a strong name. Man, it's gone, dude. Way down like 139th is Tara and Kaylee and names like that that probably came into more fashion and favor later on. So that's the 90s. Now we get into the turn of the century here, the 2000s. And the number one girl name, Emily, Hannah, Madison, Ashley. This is the 2000 again. Alexis, Samantha, Jessica. Mary, forget it, man. Mary's gone. Not even on the list.
In other words, it went from being the number one name of all time.
It was the number one name in America to name your daughter for over 100 years, and now it ain't even on the list, man. If you name a girl Mary now, you're naming her after a relative, you know?
Yeah.
Now your name, Bud, what the hell is that?
That's my name.
I know it's your name.
But no, it's your name, man. I think I was named after a relative or something, like an uncle who's in the army.
You were named after an uncle who was in the army. Okay, so he's like a...
Yeah, he was in a war or something.
Was it who, a friend of your dad's?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see Bud on here either. Is Bud short for something?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to look that up. All right, so there you go. There's the name game, baby. And now we know what it is that Chris Jekyll has to deal with. When people call him, hey, Dr. Jekyll. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Going to get into the story of the Arizona sheriff, that is Sheriff Arpaio there in Maricopa County. The feds want to investigate him for possible civil rights violations. What's that about? We'll be back here, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back. Phil Hendry here, our news and information hour. We have Bud Dickman with us along with Robert Leonard. And we will find out what Bud's short for, Bud, because I think it is short for something.
No, it ain't. The guy's name is Bud.
Yeah, we got to be short for something, man.
Budley.
Budley?
What do you mean, Budley?
That's what they said.
Get out of here. Nobody said it's short for Budley. I think it's short for something like, I don't know what, you know.
What? What is it going to be short for?
Budhead?
Ha ha, oh. Ha ha, whoa. You don't want me to do no black humor. He gets to do that.
That's, what do you mean black? Get out of here. That's not racial. That's just him having fun. Take it easy. Take it easy, man. 877-876-PHIL. All right. Two things. The first thing I guess I should really get to here, because this was a significant, this man was an important man and a significant in-your-face kind of guy, because he pissed off a lot of people. He was not. And I like people like this. I like people that are not a predictable ideologic breed. Very rare. Very rare. It's very rare, in other words, for somebody to express how they actually feel about something and not worry whether they are in step with all of their other ideologic brothers and sisters. And that would be Christopher Hitchens. And Christopher Hitchens died at the Maryland, Anderson Cancer Center, MD Cancer Center in Houston, Texas, according to Vanity Fair, a magazine that he did contribute to quite a bit. He passed on. He was publicizing his memoir, Hitch 22, in June of 2010 when he was diagnosed with cancer of the esophagus. He chronicled his illness in Vanity Fair while copping to the role that his tobacco habit likely played. He was a smoker, and he was a drinker. My keystone addiction is to cigarettes, without which cocktails and caffeine and food are meaningless. Vanity Fair won a 2011 National Magazine Award for Hitchens' columns about his illness. Christopher Hitchens was a guy who was a leftist, to whatever that means to you. He was a socialist. He was very much a, you know, liberal. And by liberal, I mean not in any American sense. I mean, this cat was a European leftist. But because of that, he believed that fascism should be fought. And so he came out in support of the war in Iraq, and he came out in support of the war on terror. And that pissed off a lot of people on his, you know, sort of side of the ideologic fence. And when you think about it, people don't do that, you know. I mean, we have so few, if any, people in America with that kind of gut. It's with that kind of guts. I mean, that's just flat guts. And I don't just mean a guy who's on the left saying I support something that perhaps traditional right-wingers would support. We don't have anybody on the right with the guts to support something that makes sense on the left. And believe me when I tell you, folks, believe me when I tell you, there's always something the other side has in terms of ideas or initiatives or programs or something that are very sensible and that we could support, but because we're so much a part of a club. So a guy with a lot of guts just died, Christopher Hitchens, a leftist who believed that the war in Iraq was a sound and meaningful war against fascism. He also reported on torture. You know, he had himself waterboarded, which I thought was pretty funny. I say it was funny because that cat got waterboarded. He was like number 958,000 of God knows how many guys about being waterboarded. It's almost like, how can you call it torture when everybody's been waterboarded? People are standing in line to get waterboarded. Ending his affiliation with The Nation magazine in 2002, Hitchens used his final column to make clear his agreement with the so-called neoconservatives of the Bush administration, who were already looking beyond the war in Afghanistan and taking aim at Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. He said, quote, I am on the side of the Iraqi and Kurdish opponents of this filthy menace, Hitchens wrote, and they are on the side of civil society in a wider conflict, which is the civil war now burning across the Muslim world from Indonesia to Nigeria. In a parting shot, he said the Nation, his journalistic home for two decades, is becoming the voice and the echo chamber of those who truly believe that John Ashcroft is a greater menace than Osama bin Laden. Hitchens' support for the Bush administration's post-9/11 agenda had limits in 2006. He joined the American Civil Liberties Union and Greenpeace, among others, in filing lawsuits to challenge the warrantless domestic spying program that had been implemented in secret after initial success in U.S. District Court in Detroit. Their lawsuit lost on appeal. Asked by New York Magazine in 2007 whether he considered himself a hawk on military issues, he said, "I used to wish there was a useful term for those of us who thought American power should be used to remove psychopathic dictators." Hitchens made another splash with God Is Not Great, published in the U.S. with the subtitle How Religion Poisons Everything, and in the U.K. with The Case Against Religion. He wrote, "Violent, irrational, intolerant, allied to racism and tribalism and bigotry, invested in ignorance and hostile to free inquiry, contemptuous of women and coercive toward children, organized religion ought to have a great deal on its conscience." Discouraged prayer. Some of his critics, especially in the anonymity of internet discussion boards, connected his cancer diagnosis to his atheist beliefs. In response to those criticisms and to the designation of September 20th, 2010 as Everybody Pray for Hitchens Day, Hitchens wrote a column for Vanity Fair titled Unanswerable Prayers. "I don't mean to be churlish about any kind intentions," he wrote, "but when September 20th comes, please do not trouble deaf heaven with your bootless cries, unless, of course, it makes you feel better." Christopher Eric Hitchens was born on April the 13th, 1949, in Portsmouth, England. In his memoir, he recalled his father, Eric, an officer in the Royal Navy, as a very gloomy, pessimistic man of few words, who once told him that World War II was the only time when I really felt I knew what I was doing. His mother, Yvonne, was a splash of color in a drab world, left the marriage when she was 52 to take up with a poet, Timothy Bryan, a devotee of the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Can you imagine that?
That would have been weird.
Your mother divorces your dad and runs off to India to hang with the Maharishi. No wonder the cat was a cynic. I thought he was really entertaining. I read his biography of Thomas Jefferson, and I read countless columns of his, which were always really entertaining, really funny, acerbic, super intelligent. I heard him debate that Galway ass, that liberal MP from Great Britain, socialist MP, I think. I don't know what the hell he called himself, but he debated this jackass. He tore him apart. He tore him to shreds, and he did it in front of a very hostile audience that had been, I think they basically the debate was sponsored by either Pacifica or NPR. I think it was Pacifica. So there was Hitchens debating, on the side of attacking Saddam Hussein and doing away with him. There was Galway with all of the, all of the people that loved his ass and listened to Pacifica radio. And I'm telling you right now, Hitchens mopped the floor with this guy. Well, he's an idiot.
Who's this Galway guy?
Just a moron who, this guy Galway was standing there with the Syrian president not too long before that debate, talking about how, you know, far out the Ba'athist revolution in Syria was, and how, really? How you feel about it now, man? So anyway, Christopher Hitchens, I think it was worthy talking about him, because and to read his columns, and they are collected online, and they're really good. And he wrote a really good one after 7/7, when the attacks took place in London by Al-Qaeda. Check those out. Okay, a bunch of stuff here. Christian Bale attacked by Chinese guards. You ready for that? That's the headline. Christian Bale attacked by Chinese guards. We'll tell you what that's about. We have more that we want to tell you about Sheriff Arpaio and the feds investigating him. That's seriously what's happening. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Who's Joe Arpaio? Yeah, who's Christopher Hitchens?
Oh, we use.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here, world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. It's our news and information hour. And even though I gave the number out, put the phones on hold there, Robert, okay?
Why do you give out the number?
Just so people will have it, you know.
Get it tattooed or something.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and tattoo it. Yeah, that's right, tattooed. Anyway, maybe I give the number out because I forget that we're not taking calls. Maybe I give the number out because it's a crutch. Maybe I do a lot of things for a lot of reasons. None of them that make sense. Will you just let me get into...
You can talk about the football?
Yes. I almost forgot. In the middle of all the other falderall today and all the other... And we haven't even talked about the Republican debate, but then why would we want to talk about that? What difference does it make? They had a debate, and you know, and Gingrich and Romney, and they all talked, and you think anybody cares? Do you think anybody is actually... You think anyone's going to be influenced? Oh, wait a minute. I was in favor of Gingrich, but on the basis of this debate now... You know, I know that that's what people are doing, but can I give you a little piece of advice? These debates, while they do give you the basic outline of how a man thinks, maybe his views on things, and perhaps his ability to think through a problem, other than that, all of the wrong things are drawn from these debates. You know, how good is the guy on his feet? If he was doing stand-up comedy, it would be extremely important. As a president, I don't give a crap. Not in 3 seconds. Wait a minute, he screwed up. Like that whole thing with Perry. You know, the guy, it wasn't that he forgot what it was he was supposed to say in terms of which three branches of government. It was when you're on the spot like that and your nerves are working on you, it only gets worse with the more time that elapsed, because now you have the anxiety, I don't remember. Now you have the secondary anxiety of the fact that you don't remember and everyone knows that you don't remember. Now you have the third anxiety that I don't remember, everyone knows I don't remember, and it's getting worse because there's more and more time going. So you can't think anymore. There's not one instance, not one, when a guy's president that kind of situation is going to come up.
What? You kidding?
No, I'm not kidding, bud. No. What are you talking about?
Are you saying... That a president doesn't have to immediately know how to answer on something?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, when would that happen?
I'm saying it wouldn't happen.
No, I'm asking him. When would it happen?
Well, if the president, if they were going to have an atomic bomb or something.
If they were going to have an atomic bomb or something. So in other words, what you're saying...
If the Russians was going to drop an atomic bomb.
If the Russians were going to drop an atomic bomb and the president's got to think really fast, what am I supposed to do? Is that it?
Yeah.
Do you understand something, bud, that that very, very unlikely scenario, which is a Cold War scenario that you're laying out there, is they have got contingencies for that crap up the wazoo. What are we going to do? Why don't you think of something that might actually happen?
Oh, I got one.
Go ahead.
Like the guy said that one time, if you could torture a guy to get the information... On where somebody was, would you torture him?
I think they've already answered that question.
What do you mean they've already answered it? Say that they're against torture.
That's what they're saying. Let me tell you something, man. I don't know exactly where President Obama falls on that. That's the liberal line of thinking is no, under no circumstances. We could get the information another way. Now, someone says... if it's an emergency and you have to torture a guy to get the information to save lives, there's no question in my mind that the administration's already answered that question as to what they would do. You guys are giving me easy ones.
Yeah, but what would they do?
I have no doubt in my mind they'd torture the guy.
Did Obama get impeached and everything on account of that?
Would he get impeached, really? Is that right? You know something? I doubt it very seriously. If we had a situation in this country where we had to torture a guy to get information from him because we knew people were going to die, and we needed to know at where and when, and the guy was tortured, I got money that says not only would he not get impeached, but they'd have to rewrite the rule book on that whole attitude about torture. They'd have to, you know, finally face the music. You're giving me real easy ones here, you know?
Well, I mean...
I'm just telling you, and I'm proving to you, that this asinine... These debates are asinine. I'm telling you right now, they're stupid. They've been stupid for a long time. What started out as a great idea way back when Kennedy and Nixon went at it, it has become increasingly a joke. There's too many of them. It becomes a personality contest. I mean, we realized we were in trouble when Nixon's 5 o'clock shadow was bumming people out. I mean, what that said about the American people, what that portended was God knows. Well, we now know. We sit here and we hyper-focus on the stupidest stuff in the world. So when it comes to the general outlines of what a guy believes, you can get some of that, but the questions are so lousy that you never really get it from everybody. Or you got guys that are avoiding the question. That guy Santorum, who should not be running for president because he's not going to get, I don't think he'll get one vote, you know?
You don't think he'll get one vote?
No, I don't. I don't think Santorum would get one vote in a general election. But that guy is Mr. Lightning Rod comment, you know, hey, you know, pro-life, I don't have to think about all that kind of jazz. I never hear anything substantial come out of that clown's mouth. But I would like to, and there is an opportunity if they ask actually better questions than they do. But let's take it to the guys that are really running the show, Romney and Gingrich. You know something? These guys have laid out pretty much how they feel on a lot of different topics. Now all it is a game where we like to see how much they can beat each other up. Is Gingrich going to be embarrassed? Is Romney going to look like a jackass? This is absolutely serves no purpose. And there's no situation that a president's going to get his ass in where he has to think on his feet.
Yeah, there probably would be where the president say, okay, I got to think fast.
When is he going to say, I got to think fast?
Well, you don't think the A-bomb.
What do you mean the A-bomb, man? What do you mean think fast? They've got contingencies up the wazoo about A-bombs. They already know where they're going to put the president if Washington gets bombed. They know how many bombers they're going to scramble and how many fighters are going to scramble if the Russians do this or the right. What do you mean? You know, you guys are still talking about A-bombs from Russia. You know, there is actually a book that the Pentagon has. It's got all these war scenarios. Now, I'm not saying it's the most up-to-date thing in the world. I'm just telling you that there are outlines of things that presidents can do, commander-in-chiefs can do. And this thing that a guy's got to think on his feet, this is the biggest load. And everybody gets conned by it all the time. You know? It was always, well, he stumbled. Yeah? So what? So he stumbled. Are you kidding? We deserve, more and more, we deserve the government we've got. I've never seen a country more deserving of the crap government that it seems to think it has. If it's a crappy government, you only got yourselves to blame, you know, so, you know.
Yeah, but everybody's going to agree with you because they don't think it's their fault.
Oh, I know everybody's going to agree with me. Everybody thinks it's not their fault, it's some other guy's fault. The very people who think it ain't their fault, it's their fault. Let me just tell you. Okay. Chicago Bears wide receiver Sam Hurd was locked up in a federal custody jail cell on Thursday as his stunned teammates learned he'd been charged with trying to set up a drug-dealing network following his arrest with more than a pound of cocaine. That's right. U.S. Magistrate Young Kim ordered Hurd held until at least today while prosecutors and defense attorneys worked out bond details before he sent to Texas to face charges. The handcuffed Hurd declined to comment on the charges, asked before the hearing if he was still a member of the Bears. He said, as far as I know. He shook his head when asked if he talked to anyone on the team. Defense attorney David Kenner, described in this story as, quote, high profile, said, Sam intends to fight these charges and we intend to defend him fully. We have complete confidence in him. Kenner told the Associated Press that he and partner Ben Greenfield had not evaluated all the information in the case, but Kenner, who successfully defended rapper Snoop Dogg against murder charges, said he had other cases where the evidence appeared to be stacked against his client. They start off looking terrible, and then we end up with not guilties, Kenner said. Kenner and Greenfield said they expected Hurd to be released from custody today, Friday. Now, Hurd is 26. He was arrested Wednesday night after meeting with an undercover agent at a Chicago restaurant, according to a criminal complaint that says the player was first identified as a potential drug dealer over the summer as the NFL lockout was coming to an end. Hurd told the agent that he was interested in buying 5 to 10 kilos of coke and 1,000 pounds of marijuana per week to distribute in the Chicago area. He allegedly said he and a co-conspirator already distribute about 4 kilos of coke every week, but their supplier couldn't keep up with his demand. A kilo is about 2.5 pounds.
He sounds guilty.
You don't know if this stuff's true. You got to back off a little bit here, man.
Yeah, but you said we could call a guy guilty even if he ain't guilty, because this ain't courtroom.
You can call a guy guilty even if he's not guilty, sure. Because, you know, innocent until proven guilty is only applicable in the courtroom, so we can speculate. You're right. But do you want to be stupid?
Well, what's stupid about it?
I don't know. I'm not doubting necessarily the information here. But let me just tell you this. This is all what the government's saying. We haven't heard Samuel Heard's side of it. Now, yeah, okay, I get it about the government, and they got a lock solid case. Ain't this the same government that people are always telling us not to trust? Isn't this the same government that people are always telling us, you know, they got the black helicopters and the men in, you know, and the men in black and the black, you know, and everything's black? Black is black. I want my baby back.
Yeah.
Okay. Heard told the agent his co-conspirator is in charge of doing the majority of the deals while he focused on higher-end deals. Holy God. See, all of this stuff is what the government is saying.
What do you mean?
What I'm saying to you, Robert, is what I'm reading here is what the government has released to the press. This is not Mr. Heard's side of it. This is the government's side of it.
Yeah, but what I'm sure they're going to say that he said that and he didn't.
Well, you know, bud, I'm not saying that the government is lying. I'm saying that they have their side to this, and they see it from this angle. And when this guy Heard gets in there, hey, look, is this guy guilty of possession? Probably. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if this cat gets convicted. I'm just saying, I'd like to hear what his side is. If nothing else, it's probably pretty funny. He agreed to pay $25. Now, he's talking to an undercover agent here. He told the agent his co-conspirator was doing the majority of the deals, but he was on the high-end deals. Yes, sure. Anyway, he agreed to pay $25,000 for each kilo of coke and $450 a pound for the marijuana, according to the charges, and then said he could pay for a kilo of cocaine after he gets out of practice, meaning the practice on the football field. He walked out of the restaurant with the package, and he was then arrested.
Just like on TV.
Just like on TV.
Not like on TV. They do it different on TV.
Why? What do they do different?
Oh, who cares, okay?
They're like, oh, yay, this is TV.
I know that. I'm just saying it sounds like it's on TV.
All right, so it's on TV. It ain't on TV. Whatever. The criminal complaint was filed in Texas where the U.S. attorney said Heard faces up to 40 years in prison. 40! And a $2 million fine if convicted of conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute more than 500 grams of cocaine or half a kilo. 500 grams, I don't know, it's $200 a gram. What are they getting for coke these days? Who knows?
Why don't you check?
What do you mean, do I want you to check? No, I don't want you to check. Heard's agent, Ian Greengross, did not return messages seeking comment. The NFL said it was looking into the incident, while the NFL Players Association declined comment. Well, the first thing you say is, boy, what a dumbass. He's got a great football career. And, you know, and he has a wife and he has a kid. And how can a guy be that stupid? I guess it's pretty easy. You'd ask yourself, well, what is the guy thinking? Here's what I think he's thinking. He's maybe not all that bright. He maybe, or in terms of, you know, legitimate business. I don't know if this man has a degree. You don't necessarily have to have a degree because you came out of a college and went and played pro football. You know, you figure if you're a wide receiver in the NFL, you got, if you're lucky, you got maybe 10 years, 10 maybe, of a career. And during that time, you have to make as much money as you possibly can. You take that bread, you go into business, you do something with it. Because if you don't have a college degree, what the hell are you going to do? Maybe you can go to work for ESPN, maybe not. Maybe you can coach, maybe not. So now a guy says, geez, I don't know, what am I going to do?
Going to be a drug dealer?
If you don't have any other skill and you're some kind of a dim bulb, but all you know how to do is catch a football, and you come from that kind of a background, you've been hanging around with criminals, maybe. Coach Lovie Smith said the arrest was a disappointment and a total surprise, adding that Heard was a member of the Bears for now. Sam wasn't in meetings this morning, and that's how from there, of course, we started searching, trying to find out why a player wouldn't be here. There was no tip-off. We didn't know it was coming. Smith said there was no reason to believe that Heard had problems when the Bears signed him before the season started. Well, anyway, we'll be back, guys. I've got to take a break, but there's all kinds of stuff here. His name's Samuel Hurd. You can look it up. It's a drag. It's a drag, not for him necessarily. I mean, he's in control of his own life, but, you know, what the hell is... I don't know. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Maybe it ain't a drag.
Bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I think it's a drag. Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and Robert and Bud with me. What were you asking?
You gotta turn the fan off. You're gonna make noise.
Oh, sorry, I got the fan on. What?
Well, what did you were talking about? Jerry Rice. He played till he was in till he's 40.
Yeah. Well, Jerry Rice played till he was what, 40? Jerry Rice is not the rule. He's the exception to the rule. Guys, players do not last that long in football, or any sport for that matter. Those guys, we hear about Jerry Rice, we hear about the players that played. There was a guy that was a cornerback for the Washington Redskins, I'll never forget the guy, Darryl Green, who was a tremendous athlete, an unbelievable physical specimen. This guy played corner, defensive cornerback, which is one of the toughest positions to play on a football field, till he was 41. Okay?
41?
41. And we all know the story of George Blanda, who played well into his 40s. Those are rare stories. That just ain't the rule, man. Most players are playing. If you're a running back, if you get 4 or 5 years, you're a lucky man as a running back.
Yeah, but Tony, you were saying about, what's his name, or not Tony, Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, he played like in his 30s.
Yeah, again, but are you guys listening to me? I'm saying that that's the rarity. Emmitt Smith, Tony Dorsett, I think Walter Payton. A lot of players play into their 30s. But you think that's the rule? That's not the rule. That's the exception. These guys, football is unforgiving, man. And most of these guys, unless you are a superstar, Jack, unless you are on your way to the Hall of Fame, they're going to dump your ass for a younger player so fast you won't even believe it. Don't worry about it. Especially football. I'm not saying this guy should be excused. Not by a million miles am I saying that. I'm just saying, man, if you come into the NFL and you're some dumbass and you come in and they lay a bunch of bread on you, who's there to tell you, you know what, dude, guess what? That money, you're going to run through that and you're going to get, maybe if you're a lucky man, you're going to get 6-7 years out of this career. Oh, are you kidding me? Jerry Rice? Yeah. Tell me all about Jerry Rice, man. If you're lucky, you'll get 6-7 years. And no more money. Now what are you going to do? What did you take in college? I didn't graduate. Oh, shoot. Well, now we got to really be thinking here because, you'll be done by the time you're 30. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? I'm going to live because I made all this money. Is that right? Uh-huh. Well, just exactly how are you? Let me give you an example here. This guy Hurd, who's doing all these drug deals, this kid just, he's 26 years old, okay? So he is now reaching the, not at, but he's coming into the peak period, his peak performance period as a professional football player. He's 26 between now and, let's say, his 30th birthday. Maybe a little bit longer. Because wide receiver, there's equal parts brains as well as skill. But this guy just signed a 3-year deal before the season started for $5.15 million. 3 years, over the next 3 years, until he's 29, he'll be making $5.15 million. I have to believe that that is a player pay, so that bread's guaranteed. I mean, I don't know, but let's just say it is.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. In 2011 dollars, it ain't that much. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of money, but what he'd have to do with that bread is start now. What I would do if I were him, I'd say, this is what I've got. I got $5 million. I got $5 million. I have to take that $5 million and I have to use that money as a basis for my living over the next 20, 30 years. Now, how many guys do you think are smart enough to do that?
They'll listen to you, they would be.
Yes, if they were listening to me, but they're not listening to me. All right. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you tomorrow night. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry and our very good friend Dan Northcraft. And, of course, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is available as a podcast at philhenryshow.com. So I'd like you guys to check that out. That's philhenryshow.com. And that, as I say, is going to be available on our podcast tomorrow, as well as, of course, our videocast. And we have there produced by, you know, Phil Henry and Dan Northcraft and Fred Scotty. Fred, wherever you are, man, we still have you up there as one of the producers. So God bless you, dude. We'll see you guys later on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.